If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And as you find that, I'm going to remind you that we are looking at the second part of last week's sermon, and we're looking at the fourth part of a five-part series on why God made you. Isn't it nice to know what you're made for? Hey guys, have you ever been out in the garage and you're in the middle of a project? And you couldn't find your hammer, and so you reached over and got a wrench? Oh, nobody ever did that. That's not where that came from, but stuff like this comes from that. You know, sometimes we try to use the wrong tools for the right project, and sometimes we pay for it, right? Sometimes things get messed up. I want you to know this, that God made you for a purpose, and when you know what that purpose is, and you're practicing that purpose, you are one of the most happy people on the earth, because when you fulfill what God made you for, God puts joy in your heart. Not just occasional happiness, but full joy. Isn't that nice when God fills you with joy? Would you like to be? Last week we talked about why God made you, and He made you to make a difference. You were not made just to be, but you were made to become. To become what? God's special instrument of service. Not just to be a consumer, but to be a contributor. You are created and you are called to serve. That is your fourth purpose. We were made to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We were made to love others as ourselves. We were made to become more like Christ. And we were made to serve the Lord our God. God gave us the greatest model. We talked about this last week. I won't dwell on it. But we talked about God giving us the greatest model for service. And that was whom? Christ Jesus. He said, Jesus Christ said, that in order to find your life, in order to be full of life, in order to be purposeful in your life, you first have to give your life away. You have to give it to God and let God move you. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word, Matthew chapter 20. We're going to read verses 25 through 28. Our Lord Christ Jesus came to His disciples, and He was trying to tell them to listen because He had a word for them about how they were going to live and should live and how to be successful. Do you want to be successful? Listen to God's words. It says, Jesus called them to Himself, and He said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise great authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your what? Servant. Let's read that again and get ready to say the last word again. Yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you, disciples of Christ, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. This is God's Word, and Christ Jesus even told us that the Son of God, God Himself, came to earth not to be lauded and not to be bowed down to and not to be served, but He came to this earth to do what? To be a servant Himself. Dear friends, if we are to be Christ-like, and that is what our name is about, Christian, meaning little or like Christ, then, dear friends, we are to serve. Would you pray with me? Father, Your Word has some pretty pointed things in it, Lord. Would You help us as we read it to heed it? That as we put it in our minds, Lord, to take it not just from the brain portion of our bodies, but to put it into practice in all the rest of our body. Help it not just to penetrate our thoughts, but to penetrate our actions. For Father, we've been told that we are to be servants to one another. God, help us to do just that. And your word said that in doing so, we become great in the kingdom of God. Help us to understand that better, Lord. In the name of Christ Jesus, your Son, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you be seated? We are made not just to be, but to become. To become what God calls us to be. So, what does it take to be used by God? What does it take to learn to serve like Jesus? We started with three things last week. And we said them quickly. We said, you need to first be available. If you're not available, how can you ever serve for God? Secondly, we have to learn to be grateful. Because if we serve with a heart that's not grateful, we're not very good servants. We're going to talk about that. And then we need to be faithful. Always be there. Always working for the Lord. So serving like Jesus, we started out last week saying that first of all, you need to be available. You need to be available. Matthew chapter 20, verse 32, which is just a couple of verses after that we talked about last week, that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And there were two men on the side of the road who called out to Jesus with his entourage. And Jesus and all of his business did what? He stopped. Friends, we can't reiterate that enough. Jesus stopped. This is just one example that Jesus was willing to be interrupted for ministry. If you want to be used by God to serve God, dear friend, you must learn to be willing to be interrupted, because that's where most ministry is. Because I've got to tell you, I've got a plan for my time, even if it's just to rest. Amen? Don't you? Have you ever had a day that you thought, I'm going to get to rest, and everything just collapses on it? Listen, it happens all the time. We need to be willing to be interrupted. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28 says, never tell your neighbor to wait until tomorrow if you can help them today, if you can help them now. Your availability to God is so important. Let me say this again. Your availability to God is so important that Satan is going to work hard to distract you. Satan wants to keep you so busy that you won't see God at work. Now, there's an understanding that we need to hold in our hearts and lives, and that is that God is always at work around us. And when we see God working around us, that's his invitation for us to join him. And no matter what we've got on our agenda, is it not more important to join God in his? So, folks, when we see God at work, we're to join him. And Satan wants to keep us so busy, so distracted, that we don't see God at work. Now, there are three very common barriers to being available to other people and to being available to God. The first barrier is self-centeredness. Being self-centered keeps us from seeing God. In other words, I'm really busy right now. I can't do that, Lord. I'm really busy right now. I can't do that, friend. I'm really busy right now. I just don't have time. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says this, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Whenever you see a need right in front of you, guess what? God has given you the opportunity to be used by him. And God has given you the opportunity to practice your serve, to practice serving. You know, the number one enemy of compassion is not hardness of heart. Dear friends, listen to me. The number one enemy of compassion is not hardness of heart. It's busyness. Now, there are some people who just have a hard heart, but I don't think it's very many. Most of the time, it's not the hardness of our heart, it's the busyness of our schedule. Amen? Amen. Be careful to be used by God. We just get so busy. So busy that we don't have time to serve. We don't have time to give to others. We hang, more or less, we hang that sign on our heart that says, do not disturb. We're busy. Everybody is busy. Well, listen, let me remind you that real servants don't mind being interrupted. Do you know why? Because their agenda is God's agenda. Here's what I found, that when I begin to be so busy that I can't be called on, or I start fussing about how I'm constantly distracted, it's because I'm tired or I got a bad attitude. Now, you talk to your own wife about it, not mine. But the barrier to true availability starts with being self-centered. The second barrier is perfectionism. And you're going, what? Yeah. The second barrier to being available is requiring that everything be perfect. Everything's got to be just right for you to serve. You know, when it's all just right, when things settle down, when I get a day off, when the kids quit calling, when work quits calling, when the church quits calling, when the pastor will leave me alone, that's when I'm going to start doing this. I want you to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. It says this, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." You know what that's saying? It's talking about the farmer, and it says that if he sees that a little wind is blowing, he's going to go, "Oh, I need to wait. It's not perfect." Or if he sees the clouds start to come up, "Oh, I'm not going to get out there and get busy." You know what he's doing? He's making excuses. In other words, if you wait for the perfect conditions in your life, you will never do anything. If you always have to have it perfect. Now, it's not always just the conditions, but it's also the perfect. Some people just say, "Well, I can't do that. I'm not good enough at it." Real servants do the best they can with what they have today. It does not have to be perfect in your ability for God to bless it. Amen? How many of you, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm not trying to put you on parade, but I do want you to stand. If you helped anybody during this last few weeks replace a pipe, clean up, pull out sheetrock, put in sheetrock, fix a pipe, serve a meal, bake some cookies, go to visit them, anything, you did anything to help them with the pastor's freeze, I just want you to stand up for a minute. Go ahead. Stand up for just a minute. Come on. I want y'all to look at me. Thank you. Look at me. God bless you. Because it is doing these things in the manner to the best of your ability that God will bless. Now let me ask you this. How many of you helped fix a pipe in any manner? You handed the stuff, or you actually did it yourself? Let me stay standing. Raise a hand. Now put your hand down. How many of you are professional plumbers? Nobody? You can be seated. Do you get where I'm going to now? Do you have to be a professional to help? You don't have to be a professional counselor to pray with somebody. You don't have to be a professional plumber to help fix a pipe. You don't have to be a professional plumber to help clean out the floors from the insulation, etc., etc., etc. You don't have to be a professional chef to cook a meal for somebody and it be greatly, greatly appreciated. And all God's people said, I'm not saying not to give your best. Listen to me. God's word says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. So I'm not saying haphazardly throw something together. I'm saying do it to the best of your ability. But God's word is saying that if you wait until everything is perfect, you're never going to do anything for anybody. Because when are conditions perfect? And when conditions are perfect, I'm going fishing. If God only used perfect people under perfect conditions, what would get done? God likes, maybe to change that, God loves, God prefers to use regular, ordinary, everyday people like you and me. Do you know why? Because there's not any perfect ones, in spite of the fact that there are some who think they are. There are no perfect people, and all God's people said. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, God reminds us, don't wait for the perfect conditions. Don't wait for everything to be just right. That's just an excuse not to do it at all. I'm going to tell you this. Things are never going to settle down in your life. I'm sorry. You're human just like the rest of us, and you live in the world just like the rest of us, and I'm going to tell you the truth. And if this hurts, get ready. Young people, those of you who dedicated babies this morning, it doesn't get any better. Let me give you an example. Do you remember in those days when you were about, let's just say a young teenager, just beginning to understand, this is for everybody, just beginning to think, you know what? I got wings. I can fly. I don't need my mama to tell me how to fly. I don't need my daddy to tell me how to fly. I make good decisions. I can do this. I ought to be on my own, and I can't wait to be on my own, and I can't wait to take care of things, make my own decisions, get my own car, get my own money, and woo, will I be free. Anybody remember remotely thinking that? Come on. Anybody? If not everybody? You were freer when you were hoping that than you ever have been since. Amen? Isn't that true? So all you young parents, it doesn't get any better. So enjoy and live and love where you are. And let God use you where you are. I've got to tell you, I know some who said, can't wait till I retire, and they're about to work themselves to death in retirement. God likes using imperfect people. Start serving now, because God wants to use you just how you are. There's a third barrier or deterrent to being available, and that's materialism. In Luke chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon, or you cannot serve both God and money. Now, I want you to notice this. You see the word up there? You look through it again with me. Jesus did not say, you should not serve two masters. What does it say? Does it say you should not? What does it say? You cannot. You cannot serve both God and money. If money is your God, you're not serving Jehovah God. You have got to decide, do you want to live for worldly riches, or do you want to be blessed by God's riches? Now, I'm not saying that God can't bless you with worldly riches when you serve Him. He can. But I'm going to tell you, if that's what you serve, your heart is never going to be with the Lord. You serve God and let Him bless you. But it may not be through material things. Once you become a believer, you have to ask yourself. Once you give your heart to Christ, you have to ask yourself. Once you surrender yourself to the Lord, you have to ask yourself, am I truly surrendered to God? Am I going to be a wealth builder, or am I going to be a kingdom builder? Materialism gets all in the way of being available to God. And serving means being available. Now we move to the second thing. Not only we have three things that we have to be able to be and to do in order to be a servant. The first one is to be available. The second one is to be grateful. To be grateful to God for what you have and for the opportunity to serve. Serving like Jesus means being grateful. In John chapter 11, you may remember the story of Lazarus. Do you recall? that Lazarus, his close friend, died and they buried him. And the disciples got word and they said, Lazarus is dying. You need to come. And Jesus instead relaxed and stayed an extra day or two. And then when he got there, they said he died. And Jesus went to the tomb. And at the tomb, John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42 says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. And then he said, I say this for the benefit of those who are around me. I thank you, Lord, for hearing me. In other words, what he's saying is, God, I want these people around me to know that I am grateful to you. Listen, Jesus Christ was and is and will forever be God. Amen? He didn't have to say thank you. Does a person who created something and made it ex nihilo or out of nothing, does somebody who makes something out of nothing say thank you for giving, for taking up what's theirs? God didn't have to say thank you to anybody. And yet, Christ Jesus had an attitude of gratefulness in everything that he did, teaching us to do the same. Psalms chapter 100, one of my favorite praise hymns. It ought to be yours too. Verse 2 of Psalms 100 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Enter his courts with praise. Psalms 118, verse 24 says, this is the day that the Lord has made. And what? I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why do we serve God? Because it's our duty? Sometimes we have to do that, don't we, when our attitude of gratitude kind of stinks? We kind of need to serve God out of duty. But folks, it shouldn't be out of duty. It should be our delight to serve God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says, it is He who has saved us and has chosen us, not because we deserved it, but because of His loving plan. Because of His loving plan, our Lord delivered us from our sins. He saved us. And out of gratefulness, we ought to serve Him. When somebody saves your life from an eternal and awful and burning hellfire, we ought to be thankful. Amen? God's Word says we need to serve Him in gratitude. Now, just as there are barriers to our availability, there are also some barriers to being grateful. Here's just a couple. Romans chapter 14, verse 4 says, there is a barrier in criticizing and comparing. Comparing ourselves to others and criticizing with what we have. Romans 14, 4 says this, what right do you have to criticize someone else's servant? Only their Lord can decide if they are doing right. Well, listen, if you belong to God and you belong to God, is not God their Father? Hello, talking to this section. If you belong to God and you belong to God, is not this section, isn't God their Heavenly Father? And who is their Lord? God the Father. Do I need to do it over here? So when we go to God, and you belong to God, and you belong to God, and you don't like what they're doing, is it your job to go to God and go, I don't know. God says, hey, their master will take care of them. And if God is Father over all of us, God the Father will take care of the needs. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to pray over some people. Some people need prayer. No, all of us need prayer. All of us need prayer. But it is not our job to go to God and go, God, you know that person is that. God says, in other words, you take care of yourself and I'll take care of them. And believe you me, if you ever wondered if God doesn't call His children on the carpet for what they do wrong, think again. It's called the spiritual woodshed. And there have been sermons preached about it for centuries. Go back and look up one called The Hounds of Heaven. Because if you think that God will forget that you are running from Him and not being where you're supposed to be, He will, as that old preacher said, sick the hounds of heaven on you, and you will be in misery. Understand this, dear friends. There is a barrier to being grateful and comparing what we have to what other people have. And by criticizing what other people do, we stop serving. We spend our time criticizing. Why don't I have what they have? Why don't I have the gifts they have? Listen, there are times that I really look up on this stage and I think, God, I would love to be able to lead music like that. I would love to have a voice like that. I would love to be able to play the piano or the guitar or the drums. Or listen, there are times I go, I wish I could do that. But if I get off on the point that I can't, rather than concentrating on what I can do, I won't serve at all. You get my drift? This means yes. The second barrier is wrong motives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 from the CEV version says this. It says that Jesus said, when you do good deeds, don't try to show off. If you do, you won't get a reward from your Father who is in heaven. In other words, dear friends, self-promotion and servanthood just don't mix. If it's all about getting attention for you, oh, you might get something done, but don't think that it's ever going to go on your credit side, if you will, in heaven, because that's where God's Word says that there is going to be a trial by fire, where all of our deeds are put in the spiritual fire, and all of the junk, the dross, the wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burnt up, but only those things done for God are going to last. You know, to think that we can compare to say, well, I can't serve because I don't do what they do. I don't have what they have. Or, God, I don't like the way they do it. Or we criticize the fact how they do it or that they don't do it. It's pretty ridiculous. Because when it comes to standing before God, He's not going to look at you and say, did you keep track of your neighbor? Can you tell me what they did? Don't you think God knows? He's going to say, hey, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I blessed you with? If you want to serve like Jesus, be available. Serve gratefully. And the last one this morning, serve faithfully. Serving like Jesus means being faithful. Now, what does faithful mean? Faithful means you do not quit in the middle of an assignment. You don't stop. You don't give up in the middle of what God's called you to do. At the end of His earthly ministry, Jesus Christ said this. It's found in John chapter 17, verse 4. Jesus said, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus said, I've finished it. Father, I have done what you've asked me to do. I've completed it all. Listen, I want to be able to say that when I appear before God. Amen? I want to be able to appear before God and say, God, I did what you wanted me to do. I glorified you by completing the task, as simple as it was. Father, as easy as it was, or as hard as it was, or as difficult as it was, whatever it is, God, I did my all to do that. I have finished the work that you've given me to do. Don't you want to be able to say that before God? Jesus was faithful in His service. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't quit? Your salvation depended on it and depends on it. If you want to be like Jesus, you will learn to serve as long as you are alive. Is there anybody in here? Let me see any hands. Is there anybody in here that has stopped breathing? Then you're all still qualified to serve and should. Nowhere in God's Word does it ever say an age that you can retire. Abraham and Sarah started a family for God. She was in her 90s. Abraham was 100. And that's when he began the journey for God. Anybody gotten there yet? God's not through with you. Jesus was faithful in his service. You may, at some point, retire from your job, but you will never and should never retire from ministry. If you're old enough and strong enough to stand and to pray, you can be used by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 said, "It is required in stewards that they be found faithful." It doesn't say how old or how young. Listen, if we're not careful, a whole lot of what you are doing in life won't matter for eternity. Let me just say that again. If you're not careful, a whole lot of what you're doing right now won't matter one whit in eternity. Now let me ask you this. Is it even going to matter next week? Is it going to matter later today? Is it going to matter tomorrow? If it's not going to matter tomorrow, it's not going to matter in eternity. Dear friends, a lot of people think, you know, what I do doesn't matter. And that's just not true. What you do today, what you do right in this hour with what you're being shared from God's Word, what with God being coming into your heart, into your ears, what you do with it can matter for eternity. And what you do in obedience to it will matter for eternity. Any time you serve in Jesus' name, it matters. Anything you do in Jesus' name to serve matters. The tiniest thing. 1 Corinthians 15:58 from the Message says, "Throw yourself into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for Him is a waste of time for effort." How much is wasted? Nothing. Nothing you do for Him is wasted. Now I want you to notice that little word there, nothing. It says, nothing you do for the Master is wasted. That means it all matters. Everything matters. The little stuff matters. The big stuff matters. Because you see, in God's book, there is no little service. Because the tiny thing that you do might make all the difference in somebody being led to the Lord. Serve the Lord. In 1934, there was an evangelist by the name of Mordecai Ham. How about that name? Mordecai Ham preached a revival in North Carolina. And as he preached, there was a 16-year-old boy out there in the audience who had said he would never go to hear Mordecai preach because he was tired of all that preaching mess and tired of all that preaching stuff, and he had had his fill of hearing it in his own church. He didn't want to hear it anymore. And then somebody told him, "Did you know Mordecai Ham was a boxer? He's a fighter." And he thought, "I might have to go hear about a fighter." So he went to the revival. And Mordecai Ham preached. This young man became convicted and listened to every word that he said, and at the end of the service decided that he wanted to surrender his life to Christ. So he went up to the front, and there were so many people up there, he didn't know what to do, and he was just standing up there with a crowd of people. And so he began to make his way towards the exit. And as he did, an usher caught his arm and said, "Young man, why did you come forward? Did you come forward because you wanted to know about the Lord?" And he said, "Yes, sir." And that usher stopping that young man led to Billy Graham being saved. An usher. An usher. You think it's not important to ush? Listen. Everything we do makes a difference. In Mark chapter 9, verse 41, the Scripture says, "I assure you that whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will certainly be rewarded. Dear people, even a cup of water makes a difference in Jesus' name. It's all important. Every single task. Real servants do every task as unto the Lord. Why? Because they know that it all matters. Because God uses even the little things to bring people to Him. Now I know that some people come to a church, and our church is not real large, and yet they come into a service where there's, 200, 300 people, and they say, oh my gracious, they can't use me in a church this size. Oh, how wrong you are. You could not be more wrong. I'm going to tell you this, that there are always more needs than there are people to serve. Have you ever wondered why you're here? Maybe this is your very first Sunday. You're going, well, why am I here? Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because God's Holy Spirit brought you here. That's why you're here. And you're here because God wants you to be used in His kingdom. And it may be that you're visiting here from another state and you've got another church. Wonderful. You need to go home and serve in your church. But if you belong here or you're right here close by, why don't you just let God lead you here and you be used right here where you are? That's why you're here. You're here because God knows that you've got something to give back. He knows you've got something to give back because He gave it to you. God wants you to serve. God brought you because He knew that we had something that was needed from you. Background, talent, skills, ability, contacts, whatever. I got to tell you, just the other night, on Friday night, we learned about things. We had a man who was visiting here, and we talked about our plans to go help Ed because he had water in his building, right? Water in his house. And they were going to take it out, and we announced, we're going to put Clorox on that to kill that mold. And we had two different people come up and tell us, don't do that. You need to put something else. Why? Because it works better. And anyway, why were they there? Where's Ed? Listen, we do the best we can with what we have, and we get service and help and guidance and direction from everybody that we can so that we do the best we can. Because God's Word says there is victory in the counsel of many. Amen? Amen. How will God use you? Watch and see. Watch this week and see if God will not test you in this. That God presents you with an opportunity to serve this very week. And then next Sunday, you're going to have an opportunity to sign up for some different mission activities right here in our church and beyond our church and beyond our state. And who knows where God's going to be leading us? We are not sure. But one day, you will have to stand before God, and He is going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with your talents, your abilities, your freedom? And some of us are going to have to stand before God and say, well, God, I was really busy. I just never got around to serving you. And God is going to have to say, wrong answer. That's not why I gave you all those gifts and abilities. Not for you to work and pile it up in your own bank account. He said, I gave that to you so that you could serve and work and help your brothers and sisters in Christ and lead the lost to me. That's why I gave it to you. I want you to remember this. Hebrews 6:10 tells us that God remembers every service you ever do for Him or for the least of these, my brethren. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. He will not forget the love you demonstrated for His name by serving the saints. That's Christian men and women. And by continuing to serve them. We also need to remember that God remembers His promise. We talked about this last week. Matthew 25:21, that He is going to, when we appear before Him, say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I am going to put you as a ruler over many. enter into the joy, enter into the happiness of your Lord. I want God to say that about me. Do you want Him to say that about you? Don't you want God to look right into your eyes when you stand before Him, and for Him to look right into your eyes and into your heart and say, good job. You used what I gave you for my kingdom. There is not anything that is going to be any greater than that. Do you have time to serve God? Do you have time to serve others? Is what you have planned this week going to last into eternity? Is what you have planned for this afternoon going to make an eternal difference? Is it going to make a difference tomorrow or the next day or the next day? I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. If everybody who came here served here, we would have an enormous worldwide reaction. Would you pray with me? God, would you help us? Help us to have eyes to see you, Lord. Help us to have tender hearts that will respond to your call. Help us to have listening ears that will listen when you speak to us. And God, when you do, remind us that that is your invitation to join you where you're at, to serve in your name, to help, to give, to live, to love in the name of Christ Jesus. We ask God for your help to do it well.